we need to check in up in North Louisiana for a something that we've got our eye on very closely that will hit home in the greater Baton Rouge area. And that is the congressional map that was passed in the first special session as it is being challenged in court. Anybody who looks at it can tell you that the sixth congressional district in particular is it's just completely out of whack. And it was created with nothing but race in mind, which violates so many other statutes. Joining us now is State Senator Thomas Presley, who I believe was in court on Monday testifying against the map. Senator Presley, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No, glad to have you on here. Let's talk a little bit about what went down on Monday, what your involvement was, and the story that you told.
Yeah, so I was subpoenaed to testify for the plaintiffs in the lawsuit that was filed against the congressional map.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and gave testimony for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe 15 minutes with the plaintiff's attorney giving me direct examination, asking me about how we came up with the map, and the defendants cross-examining me.
So what went into that testimony there? What went into how the map came to being?
Yeah, so, I mean, the fundamental tenet was race. We were told that we had to draw two African-American districts, putting aside all other redistricting priorities and redistricting guidelines. And then, you know, the question really was, how do we draw it if we're going to draw two African-American districts, as we were told we had to do? The only way that I came up with, and I've done a lot of map drawing on Dave's redistricting, trying to come up with ways to draw maps, both on the congressional side as well as the Supreme Court side, is to really play connect the dots throughout the cities of Louisiana.
Yeah.
Baton Rouge, of course, being one of those cities, and the others being Lafayette, Alexandria, and either Monroe or Shreveport, in order to get the BVAP, the Black Voter Age Population, to a level that is an African-American performing district.
So we were told a billion times over, it's simple math. It's simple math. It's basically counting people and their race. But when it comes down to it, it's not simple math. What other factors do you feel were ignored in creating the map that was created?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, it's simple math in a state that if everyone was in the same area, that looked the same way. But that's not the way that our state's designed and the people live. I think it's important to look at you know, the reasonableness of the map at the end of the day. And if you look at this map, I know you've said before that it absolutely, anybody that's just looking at it says this is completely gerrymandered, and it was.
Yeah.
On racial lines. But I want to look at commonalities of interest. I want to look at the cores of the prior districts. You know, you want to look at the issues that are important to those areas. And compactness is another one. You and I both know, as anyone that's driven from Shreveport to Baton Rouge or Baton Rouge to Shreveport, that there's a whole lot of change between those two cities. And so, you know, while Baton Rouge is very important and I'm grateful for my opportunity to serve down there, I represent the northwest corner of the state,
yeah,
which is unique and important. And I think that we need to have a member of Congress that understands this area very well.
We're talking with State Senator Thomas Presley about the trial to determine whether the new congressional map that created a second majority Black district will hold up. Senator Presley, I tend to look at things through a Baton Rouge lens. You're going to look at them through a Shreveport lens. If I'm hearing right from you, Baton Rouge isn't the only place that should have a beef right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that, you know, Baton Rouge is the south part of the state and the north part of the state is, it's a well-known divide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that this map was drawn, I think there's a real chance that the district that Julia Letlow currently represents is going to be someone from South Louisiana.
Yeah.
I think when she's finished being a member of Congress, I think that the new district, District 6, that Garrett Graves drew, and look, Garrett's a really good congressman and has done a great job of talking on the coastal issues. Garrett, I'm not sure, has been to Shreveport more than a handful of times, and I think that district and you know, and whomever is in the population base from Baton Rouge, I think is likely to not have as many as much of a knowledge base to be able to represent the issues of our area in Northwest Louisiana as well. But I think even with Mike Johnson's seat, when the speaker is finished being speaker and decides not to run for Congress anymore, look, I think the population base is now in the southwest corner of the state in the Lake Charles area. So there's a possibility that you'll have three members of Congress representing North Louisiana, none of whom are from North Louisiana. I really think that's a disadvantage for our state.
Well, and it's amazing, though, because like I've looked at this through the lens of North Louisiana diluting Baton Rouge's power within the 6th District. You're looking at it through the lens of, we're not going to have anybody from here.
That's right.
It's amazing you've had two equal problems that are so completely different, but we'd be served by the same solution, and that is having a geographically compact district.
And looking at commonalities of interest, right? I mean, anybody that's looked at the regional differences in our state knows that North Louisiana is very different than South Louisiana. And particularly, you know, even Northwest and Northeast Louisiana are different.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, look, as a legislator, as a senator, I mean, my focus is on growing jobs and opportunities in the state of Louisiana, getting more people here so that we can actually grow a member of Congress. The last time that Louisiana grew compared to our sister states was 1910. In 1960, Louisiana and Florida both had 10 electoral votes in the presidential election of 1960. Today, we have 8, and Florida has 30. Our policies are broken. And I think that our policies are broken in part because we continue to do this type of thing. We try to gerrymander for whatever suits the issue of the day, and that's just going to continue to drive people out of Louisiana as opposed to allowing people to come in and make a difference in the state. We are working on it in Baton Rouge at the Capitol, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to do that and represent my area of the state.
We got State Senator Thomas Presley with us for a couple more minutes talking about the battle against the congressional map, the court battle, as the new congressional map has been challenged. Senator Presley, you weren't the only one up there. I believe Alan Seaball was there as well. Were you able to stick around for any other testimony, or did you have to get back down here to Baton Rouge to get back to work?
No, I had to get back to Baton Rouge to get back to the legislative duties of the day.
Yeah.
But I have been following. Greg Hilburn has been in the courtroom. Of course, he's with the Shreveport Times, among other Gannett newspapers. And so I have been following along. I know that there was some senator and a representative that testified yesterday. I believe there's going to be some more testimony today from members of the legislature. And I have been following along with those articles. We had some demographers that spoke about the differences in the different regions of the state as well. So it was it's been an interesting trial. I'll tell you, I clerked for one of the federal judges that is normally in that courtroom. He is not on this panel. But you have three federal judges that are overseeing this trial. And there are a lot of folks that were in the audience. It was a really powerful and inspiring day of testimony on Monday when I had the opportunity to be in court.
I know I'm asking the impossible and asking you to crystal ball this, but your takeaway, do you think the map will hold up?
You know, I'm never going to speak for a federal judge, and certainly not for three federal judges. But I will say that, you know, there is no doubt, and it's unequivocal, that we were told we had to draw two majority-minority districts, and that was the fundamental tenet. That was the issue we had to look at. Everything else was secondary to that. So if you're looking at it from a Voter Rights Act, we cannot gerrymander based on race. So I certainly believe that the plaintiffs have a good argument, and I'm optimistic that the court will determine that the race was the predominant factor, and therefore the court throws out the map. But we'll see.
Got two more for you before we get you out of here, and I appreciate your time this morning. One of those is, let's rewind back to January in the special session. If I'm hearing you right, was there a kind of an overriding mentality of you had a feeling this was going to play out the way it played out while you were making the map, or while the map was being debated and voted on?
this is going to play out as in there's going to be a lawsuit?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no matter what y'all did, you knew this was going to end up in a courtroom.
Yeah. I think, I mean, look, I think that was the case in 2022 when we drew the maps the first time when I was a member of the state house. I think you end up most of the time in redistricting cases throughout the state. Throughout the nation, you end up with some sort of lawsuit being challenging the map on one side or the other. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that we ended up in court. But, you know, we are mandated and have the responsibility of doing redistricting for our members of Congress as a member of the legislature. I believe that we should be true to those principles, whether it be on the congressional redistricting, whether it be on our legislative redistricting or the Supreme Court redistricting, which I've got real concerns over that map as well, that I've voiced very publicly for the same reason, which is we're playing connect the dots to connect people based on race and not based on other tenets that are as important when you're talking about electing people to different offices in the state and representing the people of Louisiana.
I mean, there's a level of futility towards, you know, well, we got to do it. It's going to get thrown out, but we got to do it anyway. How does that play in when, like, let's say it does get thrown out? From a legislative perspective, nothing else can be done this year. We'll go back to the map, or we'll keep the map that we've always had, or shouldn't say always, but the map that we had for the last election will be, you know, the map for this election. Legislatively, when do y'all get back to work on trying to create something else that serves both masters, the master of breaking things down to have a second majority minority district while keeping in mind all of the other factors?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not the Senate president. The Senate president, the governor, and the Speaker of the House, I think we'll get together and have a discussion of when we will get together and be back down there. Mm-hmm. It depends a little bit on what the court decides, and if they decide that we need to be we need to try to do this year, or if we can do it for the 2026 election. So we'll see. I don't know the answer on that. I don't have the crystal ball, but we certainly take this responsibility very seriously, and we'll continue to abide by court's orders and do what the people of Louisiana are asking us to do and have given us the power to do, which is redistricting the various offices, including Congress.
Last one before I get you out of here, and I know I said I only had two more, and I lied. One before I get you out of here, you've done your bit, you've given your testimony. Do you have a timeline on when the court will make a ruling?
I don't. The federal court doesn't give us that timeline in place. They may at the end of trial today. Today's the last day for testimony and closing statements. So the court may indicate how long it'll take. I would expect it in the next few weeks.
Yeah,
but that's just a guess.
He is State Senator Thomas Presley. We always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks a million. You stay safe in the weather.
Thanks much. Have a great day.